What would you think if a man who was in prison unjustly wrote to you and said that he had everything, was abounding, and was full? Well, like many people would consider or conclude that there's got to be something wrong with this guy. He needs some professional help. For a prisoner to think this way, we just wouldn't take him seriously. But I want to talk to you about a prisoner who said those very things.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give. Alleluia to the King of Kings. Alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Alleluia to the King of Kings. Alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia to the Lord of Lords, who is the great.
Friends, my name is Don Rule, and this radio program is called Perception, a work of the Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls, Oregon. So let's talk about that prisoner. That prisoner wrote a letter which is in the Bible. And over the past several weeks, we have been examining the letter that he wrote. In fact, I've even been showing you, and hopefully you've been agreeing, that we should think as this man does in the book of Philippians. And yet he wrote it from prison when he didn't deserve to be there. I mean, what are we, a bunch of wild-eyed religious fanatics who think that it's wonderful to suffer? No. Again, I'm talking about Paul. Even if you've never heard this radio program before, even if you've never read the Bible before, and you just happen to tune in today, you've heard of Paul. You've heard of Christianity. I'm going to tell you, he wrote a book in the Bible called Philippians. It was written while he was a prisoner. And he was a prisoner for no good reason. He was being persecuted. Now, what would you think of a group of people who wanted to take part in this prisoner's work? They want to help him do the very thing that got him into prison in the first place. Are you prepared to call these people your brethren? But that's exactly what we have in the book of Philippians and the church in ancient Philippi. Let me read to you now from Philippians 4, 15 through 17. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. At first, only Philippi shared in Paul's work. Was it because other churches could not afford it? Did the other churches simply choose not to be a part? Whatever the reason, they missed sharing in giving and receiving. If they knew what they were missing, surely they would have found a way to participate. From 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we get the idea that other churches were critical of paying a preacher such as Paul. Therefore, when Paul went to some places, he had to receive his wages from other churches. He said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 8 and 9, I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia, and that would include the Philippian church, supplied. And in everything, I kept myself from being burdensome to you, and so I will keep myself. We may think that we cannot afford contributing to the Lord's work. But have you noticed that we do manage to find a way to do other things? Because Philippi was willing to do something that other churches would not, they were blessed. Let me take you back to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 7, when Paul said, "Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace." Now maybe someone says, well, Paul was just looking for the money. No. Again, I've already read to you Philippians 4:17, but I want to read it again. And remember, he's not saying this to flatter them. He's not lying, because the Holy Spirit moved Paul to write these words. Paul said, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." So no, he was not seeking anything personal from this. He was only seeking this gift so that they might get the credit for having helped him in his work. Thus, they would be the ones abounding. So again, remember, the Holy Spirit fully approved of this statement, which is why it is in the Scripture. And Paul was not simply trying to manipulate these people. Romans chapter 10 teaches a sequence of events that must transpire before someone can be saved. Watch as Paul traces backward from a person being saved to how the whole thing gets started in the first place. It is written, starting at verse 10 of Romans 10, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. If the feet of those who preach the soul-saving message are beautiful, so are those who enable the preacher to go." The church, the Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls, Oregon, enabled me to go to various places, not only in Klamath Falls to preach, but also in Russia, in Idaho, and many other places. The church was enabling me to do it. And so all the fruit that came from my work, including from this radio program, is credited to their account. Now let's take a look at verse 18 of Philippians 4. Paul said, "Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." When you heard Paul's words in this verse that I just read to you, what image did you have of him and his living conditions? Did you remember that he was chained in a jail cell? And he did not have this contented attitude because he was being punished for sins that he knew he had committed, and he was receiving the punishment humbly and with a heart of repentance. No. He had not done anything to deserve to be in jail. Friends, do you comprehend what he is saying here? Paul's body was chained and jailed, but his spirit was free. Therefore, in jail, he could say he was full and was abounding. The things that make for life, he had in fullness in prison. I mean, I'm talking about forgiveness of sins, the hope of eternal life, grace, mercy, and peace from God. Chains and jail do not change those things. Paul knew when to say that he had enough. Now, some people take advantage of generosity. And some people are never happy with their pay. They're never happy with what they have. One person said, if we fasten our attention on what we have rather than on what we lack, a very little wealth is sufficient. Someone once said, I never complained of my condition but once, when my feet were bare and I had no money to buy shoes, but I met a man without feet and became contented. Oh, friends, did you notice when I was reading to you from Philippians 4:18 how Paul was trying to cause us to smell and to see what the gifts, the financial gifts of the Philippian church meant to God? The gifts were to help Paul. But he knew for whom it really was. Paul was engaged in the Lord's work. The Philippians, as all Christians, were priests. And a priest offers sacrifices to God. Therefore, think about what you're offering to God. Is it a half-hearted sacrifice? Is it the first fruits or the leftovers? Well, everything about the sacrifice of the Philippians must have been right, because Paul said that sacrifice had a sweet-smelling aroma. The book of Genesis, chapter 8, shows the effect this can have on God. After the global flood, here is how Noah's sacrifice affected God. In verse 21, and the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. Wow, that really affected God, didn't it? When you contribute financially to the church, to a good work, God is affected the same way again. In the book of Exodus, chapter 29, we discover that the Old Testament priests offered in the flesh what Christians are to offer in the spirit. Exodus 29, 18. And you shall burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. The sacrifice of the Philippians was acceptable and well-pleasing, for God does not reject what we offer to Him. It is true that our sacrifices do not measure up to what He did for us, but as a father accepts the gifts of his children, so God the Father accepts the gifts of his children. The book of Hebrews in the 13th chapter assures us that God will accept these gifts. It is written in verse 16 of Hebrews 13. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Now, several weeks ago, when we looked at Philippians 2:17, Paul referred to his work as a gospel preacher as a sacrifice. He said, yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. when the church supported him, they were partaking in that sacrifice. Paul was indeed sacrificing, but he also knew that the Philippians were too. For you see, being a gospel preacher is not the only way to serve the Lord. Supporting a preacher is another way to serve the Lord. Therefore, it is also considered a sacrifice. In the first chapter of Philippians, chapter 1, Paul said that the Philippians were suffering persecution. And they may have actually suffered financial loss. But even if they had not, yet by supporting a known preacher who caused trouble for the Romans, could easily bring more problems for the Philippians. Thus, the Lord knew what a sacrifice the Philippians were making. That is why he considered their gift to Paul as a sweet-smelling aroma and an acceptable sacrifice. Let's look at the root. Let's just think about the root of Paul's thinking here in Philippians. A preacher of the early church was a wonderful example of the virtue of contentment, which is a quality that we've been looking at these past 2 weeks. And he was asked what was his secret. This old preacher replied and said, "It consists in nothing more than making a right use of my eyes. In whatever state I am, I first of all look up to heaven and remember that my principal business here is to get there. Then I look down upon the earth and call to mind how small a place I shall occupy in it when I die and am buried. I then look around in the world and observe what multitudes there are who are in many respects more unhappy than myself. Thus I learn where true happiness is placed, where all our cares must end, and what little reason I have to complain." Wow, isn't that something? That's marvelous. That will not only help us to be content, but it will also keep us from sinning. There was an ancient Hellenistic king who lived hundreds of years before Christ. And one of his advisors, Cineas, was trying to dissuade him from undertaking a war against the Romans. And here's what he said. "Sir, when you have conquered them, what will you do next?" "Sicily is near at hand and easy to master," replied Pyrrhus. "And what then, when you have conquered Sicily?" "Then we will pass on to Africa and take Carthage." "When these are conquered, what will be your next attempt?" asked Cineas. "Then," said Pyrrhus, "we will fall upon Greece and Macedon and recover what we have lost there." "Well, when all are subdued, what fruit do you expect from all your victories?" "Then," said Pyrrhus, "we will sit down and enjoy ourselves." "Sir," said Cineas, "may we not do it now?" Here's another way of looking at it. If the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence, you can be sure the water bill's higher. There's a Japanese proverb that says, "Even if you sleep in a 1,000-mat room, you can only sleep on one mat." The soul who is possessed of this rich treasure of contentment can be like Noah in the ark, who could sing in the midst of a deluge. How about this next story? You may have read this one. It's gone over the internet quite a bit. But one day a fisherman was lying on a beautiful beach with his fishing pole propped up in the sand and his solitary line cast out into the sparkling blue surf. He was enjoying the warmth of the afternoon sun and the prospect of catching a fish. About that time, a businessman came walking down the beach, trying to relieve some of the stress of his workday. He noticed the fisherman sitting on the beach and decided to find out why this fisherman was fishing instead of working harder to make a living for himself and his family. "You aren't going to catch many fish that way," said the businessman to the fisherman. You should be working rather than lying on the beach. The fisherman looked up at the businessman, smiled and replied, "And what will my reward be?" "Well, you can get bigger nets and catch more fish," was the businessman's answer. "And then, what will my reward be?" asked the fisherman with a smile on his face. The businessman replied, "You will make money and you'll be able to buy a boat, which will then result in larger catches of fish." "And then, what will my reward be?" asked the fisherman again. The businessman was beginning to get a little irritated with the fisherman's questions. "You can buy a bigger boat and hire some people to work for you," he said. "And then what will my reward be?" repeated the fisherman. The businessman was getting angry. "Don't you understand? You can build up a fleet of fishing boats, sail all over the world, and let your employees catch fish for you." Once again, the fisherman asked, "And then, what will my reward be?" The businessman was red with rage and shouted at the fisherman, "Don't you understand that you can become so rich that you will never have to work for your living again? You can spend all the rest of your days sitting on this beach looking at the sunset. You won't have a care in the world." The fisherman, still smiling, looked up and said, "And what do you think I'm doing right now?" How much enjoyment, how much contentment in life is right under our noses and we don't even know it. My dear friends, I encourage you to be content and share in the Lord's work. I invite you to be a part of the Lord's church. I invite you to be a part of the Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls. The Lord gave. Now he wants to see you and me give. Is it possible that if I am content and give liberally, that I will end up with nothing? Well, he who is content will not worry about this problem. Moreover, next week, when we conclude with the book of Philippians, we'll see what the answer is. And if you'd like to see what the answer is ahead of time, I encourage you to read Philippians 4, starting at verse 19, and just go to the end of the book, Philippians 4:19, to the end. And while you're at it, you just may want to read the whole book of Philippians anyways. Are you a Christian? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? I mean, that's what it means to be a Christian. To be a Christian doesn't just mean, here's somebody who has something to do every Sunday morning. A Christian is a learner, a student of the teacher, Jesus Christ. What is it that we're learning from him? We're learning about life, how to live life. Are you learning from him about life? You may not be so dedicated towards doing that if you do not realize that Jesus Christ is the Lord of the universe. He is Lord of the heavens, and he is Lord of this earth, and he is Lord over you. He created you, but he loves you, and he wants to help you in life. Are you ready for his help? Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Is this belief strong enough that you are so moved to now live for him, like what we've been looking at here in the book of Philippians? In other words, are you ready to repent of your sins? Dear friends, are you ready to die to your old self, your old will, your old desires, wishes, goals, and everything, and now let the Lord run your life? What are you ready to do? Are you ready to start life over again? Well, in becoming a Christian, it's also known as being born again, because that's exactly what you're doing. You're dying to your old self and your old ways. And now you're a new person who has started life over again. Are you ready to do that? If so, you are also ready to be immersed in water into Christ. The more popular term for that is known as baptism. You're now ready to be baptized. But please do not make the mistake of thinking that once you're baptized, you're always saved, because that's not true. You can lose your salvation. You can end up being lost. And we don't want that to happen to anyone. We want you to be saved in the end. Why not start worshiping with the Nile Street Church of Christ right away? This morning at 11 o'clock, there are worship services. The entire congregation invites you to come and worship with the Nile Street Church of Christ. I encourage you to hear Woody Hensley, the new preacher at the Nile Street Church. And starting with the first Sunday in January of 2004, Woody will start doing these radio programs. And he would love to sit down with you and open up the scriptures and show you the word of life, how to be saved, and how to live the Christian life today. In the yellow pages under Church of Christ, you'll see an ad for the Nile Street Church. There is a map there on how to find a building. The worship times are given. The phone number is also listed. If you would like to speak to me, you can call me at 541-476-3100. That's 541-476-3100. And that's the phone number for the Savage Street Church of Christ in Grants Pass, Oregon. Or you can send me an email. Send me an email at rdruhl@aol.com. That's rdruhl@aol.com. Till next Sunday, friends, sharpen your perception about how God views your sacrifices. This has been Perception with Don Rule and the Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls, Oregon. Grace to you.
Faithful love flowing down from the thorn-covered cross makes me whole, saves my soul, washes white earth snow. Faithful love calms each fear, reaches down, dries each tear, holds my hand when I can't stand on my own. Faithful love. Just when hope seems to end, welcome faith, sweet embrace, tender touch filled with grace, faithful love, endless power, living flame, spirit's fire, burning bright in the night, guiding my way. Faithful Jesus is his name.